Good evening. It's a pleasure to welcome you each to the house of the Lord tonight and look forward to this hour of ministry that we have before us. Thank you, Barb, for your prelude there. I apologize for the mini split blowing your pages around there on you. For a call to worship this evening, I would like to read selected verses from Psalm 103. And as my nephew Jared shared in his scripture reading this morning, he read from Psalm 103. And so there's a little deja vu there for me. Beginning with verse 8, "And the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust." We will turn our hymnals to hymn number 396. Use that as an opening hymn, and then Brother Eric Arnold will bring our invocation. 396. Tubal.
Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather here this evening to end this day and begin another week, may we open our minds and our hearts to your leading. And may your Holy Spirit be in attendance with us this evening, with him who will speak and with we who will hear, that we will be profited by whatever it is thou would have us to know for our benefit, to speak peace to us for the travails of the coming week and of the coming time. Be with us this night, I would ask, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Chosen for a scripture reading tonight from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be also at the coming of the Son of Man. For it shall be with them as it was in the days which were before the flood. For until the day that Noah entered into the ark, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. God his blessing. May God add his blessing and understanding to his word. If you will turn to hymn number 343, we will use this as a hymn of recognition of God's great love. 343.
Thank you.
It's going to be a little bit different tonight than usual. I'm telling Val back here, I had this crazy thought for what I should bring tonight, what I should do tonight, but it was maybe a little different. Yeah, it's different. And I thought about maybe I should call Val and let him know what I'm up to. But then it occurred to me, if this is really what God wants me to do, then he'll lead Val. And he did. So I feel rather confident that at least the concept is what God wanted. My scripture reading says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be to coming the Son of Man. And we are seeing that. Excuse me. We are seeing that more and more each day. You read the newspapers or you watch the news on TV, or some of the talk shows on TV. It sure is different than the way I was taught when I was a kid. But the scriptures tell us it is going to get bad, as it was in the days of Noah. And Jesus tells us what it will be like in the last days. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to 11, and Jesus left them and went upon the Mount of Olives. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be which thou hast said concerning the destruction of the temple and the Jews, and what is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the destruction of the wicked, which is the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that remaineth steadfast, and is not overcome, the same will be saved. The signs of the times are upon us. And it's no wonder that we get confused, irritated, resentful, because of what's going on that seems to be
acceptable to the world. And we get discouraged. But Jesus continued in his talk and gave them encouragement and hope. See in Matthew 24, but verse 18 through 20. For then in those days shall be great tribulations on the Jews and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, such as was not before sent upon Israel of God since the beginning of their kingdom until this time, no, nor ever shall be sent again upon Israel. All things which have befallen them are only the beginning of the sorrows which shall come upon them. And except those days should be shortened, there should none of their flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, according to the covenant, those days shall be shortened. And we're seeing that. It seems like practically the whole world is against Jerusalem, is against the Jews, against Israel. And continuing on, verses 23 to 25. For in those days there shall also arise false Christs and false prophets. How many of these cults are going around today? And their leaders claim to be prophets. For in those days there shall also arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect, who are the elect according to the covenant. Behold, I speak these things unto you for the elect's sake. And ye also shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all I have told you must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And continuing on over 28 to 31. And now I show unto you a parable. Behold, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So likewise shall mine elect be gathered from the four quarters of the earth. And they shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't we? Behold, I speak unto you for mine elect's sake. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And again, because iniquity shall abound, the love of men shall wax cold. But he that shall not be overcome, the same shall be saved. And again, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come, or the destruction of the wicked. Do any of those ring a bell? Have you seen, maybe in person, but especially on the TV, the media, the programming, the reports on the news? Have you seen these things? Does it bug you? Does it make you upset, maybe angry, resentful, discouraged? I've developed a bad habit. I don't like being alone. I don't have anybody to talk to except my cat. At least she doesn't argue with me. But I get lonely for human voices. So I turn on a TV, and a lot of the programs I find fascinating, I guess is the way to put it, that people fall for the dumbest things. And they do the dumbest things. So completely different than the way I was raised. Of course, that's 3-4 generations ago. I was brought up that if you saw a person in a uniform, whether it be a military uniform, a police uniform, a fire uniform, a crossing guard at the school, if they were in uniform, they deserved respect. How many of them get respect today? I don't understand it. I can't help but wonder, where did all this come from? It's so different today. My dad's philosophy of life was basically, you don't spend a nickel unless you put a nickel in the bank first. And even as a little kid, when we got our allowance, we still had to put that nickel in the piggy bank before we could spend a nickel for a candy bar. But it's not that way today. There's kids graduating from college with $250,000 debt. I don't understand it. It bothers me because someday somebody's going to have to pay the piper. My son works hard. He's got his own business. But he makes a decent living. He pays his bills. But he'll take off, him and his family, and they'll go down to Florida for a week in the wintertime. And according to him, spend $5,000-$6,000 for a place on the beach, rent for a week. And then he calls me on the phone and says, Dad, I haven't got enough money to pay such and such. Call it going to the bank of Dad. I don't understand. I didn't teach him that. I didn't raise him that way. But when he got out of college, he got a really good job. And he was making good money. And he got into a habit of spending a lot of money. He had it then. He doesn't have it now, but he still tries to spend the same way. And that's the world. The world judges your success as a human being by material possessions, material success. But what they don't realize is that most of them are in debt. That's the way it is nowadays. You see on TV advertising for this loan or that loan or 90 days same as cash. And then the 90 days come up and you don't have the cash, so you wind up paying all that extra. But that's what the scriptures tell us it's going to be like in the last days. In Matthew 24, verses 44 to 51, the scriptures tell us this. This is Jesus describing the condition of the people. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be also at the coming of the Son of Man. For it shall be with them as it was in the days which were before the flood. For until the day that Noah entered into the ark, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be fulfilled that which is written, that in the last days two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one taken and the other left. And what I say unto one, I say unto all men. Watch therefore, for ye know not at what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to have been broken up, but would have been ready. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is describing the condition of the people in the last days. And we're seeing that. We're seeing it in the news media. We're seeing it on the TV. We see it in our neighborhoods. It's disheartening to me. But that's what the scriptures tell us is going to be in the last days. And what we're seeing today tells me, verifies to me, confirms to me that these are the last days. There's too many things going on that coincide with the scriptures. Now, we get into something a little bit different. We're going to sing. You know, we can read these things. We can hear these things. But it sinks in when we speak them ourselves. So tonight we're going to speak some of these things ourselves. We're going to start out with hymn number 172, verses 1 and 4. We see things happening. Crime, corruption, hatred, constantly getting bad news. The media, the newspapers, the radio. And we get discouraged. sometimes even frightened. But as it says in Isaiah 5 and 20, messed up. Yeah. Isaiah 5 and 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." How many times do we see that today? If this guy wants to be a girl, that's okay. She wants to be a boy, that's okay. There are so many things today that are acceptable, that can only be the result of Satan deceiving the people, just like Christ foretold. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. There are some people that are in serious danger. Because not only are they deceiving themselves, but they're also deceiving us. According to the news, schools are now assisting some of their students to become transgender without informing the parents. And some of the schools have, according to the news, have passed rules that forbid the teachers from informing the students, I'm not the students, the parents, that the students are doing that. Now in my day, if I did something bad at school, teacher called home before I got there. How different it is today. And what scares me is what's going to be the result with this generation. They're not growing up with the teachings that we did. If you can get away with it, okay. We're in trouble. The world is in trouble. But Jesus said, that's going to happen. And when you see it happen, know that the end times are at hand. Let's turn to hymn number 388, verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Never be discouraged. It's hard to not get discouraged when you see young people with some of the attitudes they had. I saw a Dr. Phil program here a while back, and he was talking to the younger generations, the ones that have within the last 2 or 3 years graduated from school. And their attitude, it just, some of them even said it in words. We shouldn't have to work. Dr. Phil says, well, don't you ever get hungry? He said, yeah, but we shouldn't have to work to get food. Well, somebody has to work or there isn't going to be any food to get. And it's the same thing with industry. Now, don't take me wrong. I think automation is good to a point. But like I told him back at Fisher Body, you're saving a lot of manpower by putting in all these robots. But robots don't buy cars. If you replace all the workers with automation, who's going to buy your car? But this younger generation, say, we shouldn't have to work. And Dr. Phil was trying to get the point across of you're employed, you've got a job, do the best you can so that when an opening comes up for a promotion, they'll say, hey, he's a hard worker. And their response, I couldn't believe it. Yes, I'm not going to do anything extra. That's not what I'm paid for. I'm not paid to help her do her job. I don't understand the philosophy. But again, it's discouraging. It's frightening. But it's also in keeping with the scriptures. We shouldn't get discouraged. Hymn did we just sing? 388? Lost my place in my notes. In Isaiah 35:4. Oh, come on. I messed up my paper clips. Now I can't find. That's Joshua. Here we go. Isaiah 35:4. we're counseled to not get discouraged. In Isaiah 35 and 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then over to 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And 43:5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. In Luke 18 and 2, Luke 18 and 2. That isn't right. Luke 18. I wrote down something wrong. Something 18 and 2. But what it says is, fear not, little flock. I wonder where that's supposed to be. Anyhow, that was the admonition given, wherever it is. It says, fear not, little flock. I think it goes on and says, for I am with thee. But this is a land, a choice land. Those who do not follow God will be swept off. According to Ether, chapter 1, verse 29. This is a choice land, like I said. Those who do not follow God will be swept off. And it says that in Ether 1:29. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord had preserved for a righteous people. We're trying to be a righteous people, but it gets discouraging, it gets difficult, when we see what's going on around us. But God said, this is a choice land, choice above all others. And who does not serve him will be swept off. Now, I don't know who it's going to be, or how it's going to happen. There will be a cleansing. There will be a cleansing in this land. We got a pretty good idea of the, not necessarily the people, but the type of people that will be swept off. How are they going to be swept off? I don't know. It doesn't say. But we've got a whole lot of people coming into this land that have no intention of following the rules, especially God's rules. Eventually, they're going to be swept off. The only hope we have from not being part of that group that is swept off is to repent. Repent of those things that are displeasing to God. In Mosiah chapter 11, verse 139, yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. That's a fantastic promise. As often as my people repent, I will forgive their sins. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 8 through 10. And this is a favorite scripture to me. Gives me great hope for the future. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will withhold the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will withhold the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So the blessings of God are dependent upon our, number one, obedience to his commandments. And number two, when we disobey his commandments, that we repent. Repentance is so important. As often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me? We all, to one degree or another, have committed sin. God cannot abide the least degree of sin. But he's a loving God, he's a merciful God, and a forgiving God. Forgiving based upon our repentance. As often as he repent, I'll forgive you. And it goes back, way back, the 7th chapter of Genesis. Genesis 7, 67 to 72. Oh, that's because I'm in chapter 6. There we go. Genesis 7, verses 67 through 72. And the Lord said unto Enoch, as I live, even so will I come in the last days, in the days of wickedness and vengeance, to fulfill the oath which I made unto you concerning the children of Noah. And we are all children of Noah. And the day shall come that the earth shall rest. But before that day, the heavens shall be darkened, and a veil of darkness shall cover the earth, and the heavens shall shake, and also the earth. And great tribulations shall be among the children of men. But my people will I preserve, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place which I shall prepare, a holy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. And the Lord said unto Enoch, then shall thou and all thy city meet them there, and we will receive them into our bosom, and they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks, and they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other, and there shall be mine abode, and it shall be Zion, which shall come forth out of all the creations which I have made, and for the space of 1,000 years shall the earth rest. My people will I preserve. What a promise. What a hope. No matter what we see going on around us in the world, whether it be drugs, illegal drugs, or child trafficking, or slavery in some of the other lands, eventually, God's people will be preserved, and Zion will be. God loves us in spite of ourselves, and he offers us opportunity to repent and to be forgiven. And he says over and over, don't worry, don't be dismayed. These things are going to happen. People will call evil good and good evil. But I'm with you. Call upon my name. I'm there for you. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll heal you. And we've all had that experience one time or another. God is there for us. He created us. He wants us to come back into his presence. That's our hope. That's our strength. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And he'll take care of us. Hymn number 363, verses 1 and 4. Sung about it. So when we leave here tonight, let us leave with courage, renewed strength, and renewed resolve to repent of whatever sins we had and to vow to do better, that God will take care of us. Thank you.
Because generally we don't remember something unless it's reinforced a couple of times. We're going to sing hymn number 376 this time. God will take care of you. So keep that in mind in your daily life and in those struggles of life, that indeed God will take care of you. We'll stand for the singing of this and then have a closing prayer. 376.
God.
Father, I feel impressed to remind us that you are our God. You have a vested interest in us, and that you will take care of us. And you have brought that to our forefront of our minds and our spirits tonight. And it is for a purpose. May we not forget, but may we ever be mindful. And that as we have been encouraged and admonished to trust in thee for all that we have, for our life, our health, our strength. Father, help us to remember. And not be dismayed when the adversary throws his darts, his fiery darts at us. And we feel that we cannot overcome. Bring to our remembrance the promise that you are at our side. You will hold us up. You will support us. You will be our rearward and you will be our forward. Strengthen us for the days ahead. And may we ever keep you, our Lord and our Redeemer, in the forefront of that which we do, that which we say, that we might be thy people, and you will be our God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.